of Jesus around, and the prophets, like the Old Testament prophets and the prophetic teachers of the early church. Now, clearly, these particular people, the apostles, capital A apostles and capital P prophets, they're one-off special gifts to God's church, kind of foundational gifts for the church. And back in chapter 2 in Ephesians, Paul's talking about the church, and he says that it's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so here in chapter 4, is Paul talking about these special one-off capital A apostles and capital P prophets here in verse 11, these foundational gifts? It's most likely that he is. And even if he is talking about the capital A apostles and capital P prophets, that doesn't negate the fact that God gives people apostolic-like gifts and prophetic gifts today in the church. They're not just the apostles and the prophets who provide this foundational equipping role for the church. The next in Paul's list in verse 11 is evangelists, those who are particularly gifted by God to preach and share the gospel. Those who ensure that the good news of Jesus continually goes out and is spread and is told. Some people are particularly gifted at that. But once people have heard the gospel and respond in faith, they're incorporated into the church community, and then they need to be pastored and taught. And that's the next gift that Paul talks about. Now, the word pastor in verse 11 can also be translated as shepherd. These people with these gifts have a role of protecting and looking after and guiding the flock. And it's clear in other parts of the New Testament that those who have the gift of pastoring or shepherding God's people also must be people who can teach. People who can teach God's word and help others understand how to live a life that brings honor to God. And in the original language of here in verse 11, the pastor and teacher gifts are joined together. There's an and between the two words. And so most say that this pastor-teacher role in the church is more like a single gift rather than two separate ones. So these are the gifts that God gives his church, in verse 12 we're told, to equip his people for works of service. God gives some people in the church these specific gifts in order to make sure everybody else is being equipped for works of service. So if every member of the church is gifted in some way to serve the church community, those with the equipping gifts serve the church by preparing and training and equipping others. And everybody else plays their part by exercising their God-given gifts. Paul does not imagine a church where believers sit back and do nothing. I hear a lot of people say that they come to church to be spiritually fed. And that is a good thing. That's quite a good motivator. You're receiving the teaching and the prophetic and the pastoral gifts from other people. But the reason you're receiving these teaching and pastoring and prophetic gifts is so that you're well equipped to then use your gifts in the church. There's this expectation in the scriptures that if you're a believer, then you're going to serve God in the way that God has gifted you. Now again, there are lots of different gifts that God gives his people to serve the church. You might have the gift of encouragement. If God's given you the ability and desire to say encouraging and affirming words to people, then do it. Or maybe you might have a prophetic gift. Paul says in Romans 12 that if that's you, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Or the gift of leadership, or the gift of administration, or the gift of giving generously, or the gift of showing mercy, or the gift of serving, or maybe like Margot, you're gifted at packing up. There are lots of different gifts described in the New Testament. Everybody's been given gifts from God to serve the church, and each one of us, it's incumbent on each of us to take active steps to think about and pray about and discern and then use our gifts in the service of God's kingdom. There's a lot more that can be said about that, but I want to try and stick to the passage in Ephesians 4 and focus what Paul says next, because he shows us the outcome of being a church that is being equipped for service. Verse 12, God gives these equipping gifts so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, there are a lot of words there, but in summary, it's about unity and maturity. Unity and maturity. It's a certain kind of unity, isn't it? Verse 13, we're told that it's unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. It's a unity that for those of us with faith, binds us together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all. It's a unity of knowledge and love of the Son of God. It's a unity around knowing Jesus personally, walking with Him daily, allowing Him to be Lord over our lives, submitting to His teaching, spending time in His presence. And Paul seems to be saying here that everyone in the church needs to be exercising their God-given gifts in order to achieve this unity and this maturity. It's not only about unity, it's about maturity. As a group of God's people, when we exercise our gifts, we become more and more like Jesus, maturing in our faith each day. If we as the body of Christ, as God's people, are not maturing, if we're not growing each day in our love and understanding of God, if we're not becoming more obedient, if we're not seeking to walk His ways and rely on Him more and more, we remain needy spiritual babies, Paul says in verse 14. Needy spiritual babies that are tossed back and forth and blown around by unhelpful and false teachings. We remain immature, unsure about our faith, easily swayed about things. Each of us needs to be taught and trained and equipped to use our gifts so that we can grow in unity and maturity together. Now, when we have come to faith, we are not to remain as spiritual babies. We're to be people who are growing in our love for each other, growing in our love for God, growing in our understanding of who He is, growing in the use of our gifts. And I wonder if you've been a Christian for a while, if you think back to what you were like 2 years ago, has your Christian life matured? Have you grown in your capacity and your willingness to love others? Have you grown in your knowledge of who God is? Are you growing? Are you increasingly being kind to others? Are you increasingly more patient with others? Are you more at peace with situations in your life? Do you have a deeper sense of joy in your salvation than you did 2 years ago? Are you growing? Are you maturing in faith? And if you can honestly answer yes, then that's fantastic and you should be encouraged. But if you're not, if you really can't think about any changes to what you were like 2 years ago, then you need to seriously think about why. And one of the reasons could be that you're not open to receiving the gifts of other people. That is, you're not open to being pastored or taught or equipped, or maybe you're not exercising your gifts to share with others. Paul links the growth and the unity and the maturity of the church with the exercise of people's gifts. And if we're not growing in unity and maturity, then maybe one of the sources of the issue is that you're not open to receiving the gifts of others or using your gifts to serve other people. Now, I see in our church so many people willing to use their God-given gifts. Andrew just shared with us, 50 people served in running the Alpha course. So many people are willing to be equipped and willing to learn and grow, and I think we should be encouraged. But we also have to be on guard against this modern self-centered belief that so easily creeps into the church that somehow you can be a growing, mature Christian without being part of a church community. The New Testament never envisions people in the church growing into spiritual maturity on their own. Christian growth does not occur in isolation from other people. You've got to actually turn up. We need the gifts of each other. We need to be equipped. We need the encouragement of other people. We need the administration of other people to help organize us. We need people to help us pack up well. We need people to to lead us well in worship. We need some people to give extra generously. If you want to be growing in spiritual maturity, then you've got to be deeply involved in the church community, receiving the gifts of others and exercising your own gifts. You know, a healthy, vibrant, growing, thriving church is like an amazing musical ensemble filled with talented and well-trained and highly equipped musicians, each of them using their gifts and abilities to work together to create a glorious sound as a unified team. They enable one another to grow as they function together. They're unified around the same thing, and as time goes by, they become mature and better and better at what they do and who they're meant to be. That is how God calls us to be as the church. We all are called to play our part. We're all called to be equipped. And it doesn't happen sitting at home. It doesn't happen when you don't turn up. Because you can't receive the gifts of others when you're not here, and you can't exercise your gifts with the rest of the church community. Would you please stand as we're going to pray and respond to God's word? Just going to close our eyes and spend a few moments in quietness as we respond to what God might be saying to us this day. It can be easy to hear these words and then not do anything about it. I want you to think back to what Paul says here in Ephesians 4. How is God stirring your heart? What is he calling you to change? Maybe for too long you've resisted receiving the spiritual gifts of other people. Or maybe you've realized that you are not growing and that something needs to change. Maybe he's calling you to rest in his grace. For too long you thought that you are the whole body of Christ and that somehow you have all the gifts and that everything's up to you. We need one another. Father, I thank you for each person who is here in this room. I thank you for the way that you have gifted each individual. I pray, Father, by your Holy Spirit, you would stir up the gifts in your church. May we all be willing to be equipped and pastored and taught. For those of us who have gifts that we want to use, I pray that you would give us a resolve to talk to someone about that today. For those of us who need to be more challenged about turning up and sharing our gifts, Father, give us the resolve. I pray, Father, that you'll keep us from acting out of guilt or condemnation, but out of a joyful response to all that you've given us and all that you've done for us. Father, fill us with your Spirit, and may all we do in this church as we exercise our gifts bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing.